He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in heaven in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's pray. Dear Lord God, just thank you for this church, Lord, and this 7 years that we've had of this church being established, Lord, by you, Lord, and just thank you for pastor as well, Lord. We just pray that you bless him right now, fill him with boldness and the Holy Spirit, Lord, as he preaches unto us, Lord. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. We're in Revelation chapter 3, and the title of my sermon this evening is How to Stay on Fire as a Church. How to Stay on Fire as a Church. Obviously, we're celebrating 7 years today of a great work that's being accomplished here. But you know what? In my experience and in the experience of others, sometimes churches have a tendency to die down a little bit. They lose their flame. They lose their passion. They lose their zeal for the things of God, and they end up dying out. And that's one thing that we want to avoid as a church, right? We want to make sure that we keep the flame going. You want to make sure you keep the flame going in your marriage, keep the flame going in church for soul winning, for the lost, for the things of God. And we don't want to become like what we see here in Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church, where we just become lukewarm. Look what Revelation 3:14 says, Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou were cold or hot. So then because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So the issue we see here with the church at Laodicea was that they weren't necessarily 100% cold towards the things of God, but they weren't hot towards the things of God either. They're just kind of apathetic. They are lukewarm. And the reality is this is that God isn't pleased with that. He's not like, well, they're lukewarm, so they're closer to being hot. You know, therefore, I'm going to cut them some slack. Actually, he's like, I wish that you were just completely apathetic. I wish that you were 100% cold so they can be chastised and get right with God. But you know what? Someone who's lukewarm thinks that they're right with God. They think that they're doing God's service, but they're actually completely out of the fight. They've lost their flame. They've lost their fire. And he says, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And I think one of the greatest examples of this would be drinking lukewarm coffee. You know, coffee is great hot. Coffee is great cold. Coffee is disgusting when it's lukewarm. It kind of makes you want to spew it out of your mouth, right? And God feels the same way regarding churches, congregations who are essentially dying out, losing their flame. And obviously, we're still a young church, so the fire is still here, the zeal is still there. But you know, as we get older in age, as we get older as a church, there is a temptation to lose that fire. And once we begin to lose the fire for the things of God, we will begin to regress as a church, and eventually, First Works Baptist Church will no longer be. Okay, and we want to obviously avoid that as much as possible. The Bible says in John 5:33, I like what it says about about John the Baptist. It says, He sent unto John and he bare witness unto the truth, but I received not the testimony from man, but these things I say that ye may be saved. He was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. This evening, I want to give you a couple things that will help us to stay on fire for God. And make no mistake about it, there are a lot of churches out there that have completely lost the flame, they've lost the fire, and they're just kind of going through the motions. And obviously, that can happen for individuals in a congregation where you're just kind of going through the motions, you're just coming to church, maybe you just casually read the Bible, That is a course of destruction for you as a Christian, because God wants you to retain that fire. He wants you to be zealous for the things of God, because that's one of the things that will help you to stay in this thing for the long haul. Stay in it for the long run, okay? Now, turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Let me give you a couple things this evening on how to stay on fire as a church. Number one, fuel the flame with fresh oil. Fuel the flame with fresh oil. The Bible says in Psalm 92, you're in the book of Luke, I'm going to read to you from Psalm 92, verse 10. But my horn shall exalt like the horn of a unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. And obviously what that's referring to, that oil is referring to the Holy Spirit, right? But the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Bible. And so it's important for us as Christians, if we're going to remain on fire for God, this needs to be a major part of your life right here, okay? Reading the Word of God, not some devotional, not some commentary, not just online preaching. You better make sure that you're actually reading the Bible itself. You say, well, you know, I read the Bible, but, you know, I just, you know, I think I already know everything that there is to know about the Bible. I've already read it through cover to cover already this year, you know, or last year. What is there more to learn? Folks, you'd be surprised over the fact that the Bible is very much layered and will resonate with you throughout the seasons of life, throughout things that you're experiencing, and it'll create within you that fire to continue to go forward. Look at Luke 24, verse 29. It says, but they constrained him, they referring to the disciples, him referring to Jesus, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. I want you to notice this. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And, you know, this is what I commonly call Christian heartburn, right? Because he's saying when Jesus Christ was teaching us, when he was talking to us, our hearts burn within us. And it reminds me of Jeremiah, the prophet. Because Jeremiah had a ministry that was very difficult. He was going against the grain. And there came a point where he wanted to quit. He's just like, I'm done preaching. I'm done teaching people the word of God. People aren't listening. They're not repenting. And he said this, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak anymore in his name. Now, that's a bold statement. What is he saying? I quit. I'm done. I don't want to make mention of him. I don't want to speak on his name. I don't want to say anything about him. But I want you to notice this. But his word was within my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. What is he saying? You know, I wanted to quit, but because I have the Bible in my heart, I can't quit. It's in there, and I want to talk to people about the Lord. It's in there, and I want to preach the word of God. What is this showing us? It's showing us that if we want to remain in this thing for the long haul, you got to be on fire for God. And the way you remain on fire for God is having the word of God in you, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And make no mistake about it, folks. One of the first things that goes out the window when you become apathetic towards the things of God is your Bible reading. You'll actually attend church without reading your Bible. You'll actually possibly even pray without reading your Bible. You might even go through a couple days without reading your Bible. Plain and simple. You will do a lot of the other spiritual disciplines before actually reading the Bible. That often is the one number one thing that goes out the window first. And I dare say there might be someone in here who has not read the Bible in a couple days. You're in danger of allowing your flame to go out, right? We want to keep the flame going. And one of the best ways to keep it going is making sure you're reading the Word of God consistently every single day, making it a spiritual discipline, memorizing Scripture. And, you know, one of the best ways to make sure that the Word of Christ is dwelling in you richly is talking about it. And one of the best ways to make sure that you're talking about it is through soul winning. You say, how can I keep the fire going for the Word of God? Go preach the gospel. When you preach the gospel, you're kind of forced to be in a position where you're forced to talk about the Word of God. And you know what? Nothing will keep the flame going more than just preaching the gospel, where you're constantly confronted with new challenges. You're preaching the Word of God. You're preaching the gospel. It's like real life right there. And I was reminded about this yesterday, Okay, we had our soul winning marathon yesterday, and we had 22 people saved in North Long Beach, and that was exciting. And man, I had a bunch of stuff happen yesterday to me that I was just like, man, this just Christian life is just exciting. You know, I was preaching the gospel to this lady, and she was a Catholic, and it was really hot. You know, it was really just warm yesterday, and I had my suit on and everything. And I'm preaching the gospel. I'm just like, man, it's so warm. I was with Brother Lucas. And then, you know, I felt the drop on my forehead, and it was nice and cool. I was like, oh, that was such a relief. It was so cold, you know, and it was so hot. So then I kind of just wipe my forehead, and then I'm preaching the gospel, and I point to the verse, and there's bird crap all over my hand. A bird took a dump on me while I was preaching the gospel. How humbling is that? True story. It really happened. Chat, is this real? Yes, it's real. It actually happened. So then she's like, I'm so sorry. You want me to grab your napkin? I'm like, no, let me finish this and then go grab me a napkin, you know? And then she ended up getting saved. She called upon the name of the Lord, got saved, brought me a napkin. And then afterwards she said, it's a gift, though. So you get to keep the napkin, you know? And obviously it was a double meaning. She wanted to let me know that she understood eternal security, but she also wanted me to let her know that she doesn't want a napkin with bird crap on it back either, you know? And so, you know, it gives you good stories. And then, you know, we talked to another lady, and this should have been on my other point, but I'm just going to skip that. But, you know, I was talking to this one lady, and she was really struggling with eternal security. But this lady, and she was a black lady too. You know, so she had that, you know, she was just like, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Okay. And so, like, you know, and she's like, I believe you can lose your salvation. For sure. And I'm just like, no, you can. And I'm giving her verses. And I'm just kind of going through the Rolodex in my mind of scriptures and examples. And she's just like, that's true, but I still believe, and the Bible teaches that you can lose it. And I said, okay, let me just leave you with this example right here. And, you know, when I was quoting some of the scriptures, she would, like, finish some of the scriptures for me. So she knew a little bit of the Bible, okay? And I said, you know, do you know who King Saul is? She's all, yes, I do. King Saul came before King David. Ha! And I said, yeah, that's right. I said, do you know what happened to King Saul at the end of his life? Yes, I do. He fell upon his own sword. He was wounded by the Philistines. And he didn't want to be abused by the Philistines, so therefore he fell upon his own sword. His armor bearer fell likewise. And I was like, you know, just... I'm like, that's right. So she's like, you know, she's answering all the questions, you know? And I was like, and did you know what the prophet Samuel, who's already in heaven, said to Saul? She goes, yes, I do. He said, tomorrow thou and thy sons shall be with me. And I said, that's right. And she said, oh. Oh. I see your point. I see your point. She checked me, you know, by thy words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Now, she didn't get saved. But you know what? I'm thankful for stories like that. Yeah. And you know what? I love soul winning because it gives me new opportunities to be faced with challenges that maybe I never experienced. You know, because it's just like we have the skeleton of the gospel, but sometimes not everyone follows the script where you're out door to door. You know what I mean? Sometimes they hit you with the different verses and concepts, and you're just kind of freestyling it. You kind of going and it kind of helps you to basically go back and study some things in the Bible so you can have an answer the next time you're confronted with that situation. You say, what does that do to you? It keeps me on fire for God. Because it makes me go back, read the Bible, see what it says and say, I hope I get confronted with that situation again because I have an answer for that the next time. You know, it makes the Christian life a real thing. When you're actually studying the Bible, reading the Word of God, what I'm saying is if you want to stay on fire for God, you got to make sure you're anointed with fresh oil. You got to make sure that you're reading the Word of God, you're studying the Bible. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. Did not our hearts burn within us while you talk with us, by the way, and while you open to us the Scripture? Has your heart burned this last week? Have you had a time throughout the month where you read a scripture and you're like, man, my heart burns within me and I want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? Or it might not even be about the gospel. You're just like, I can't wait to talk to another person about something that I learned in the Bible. That's how you can stay on fire for God, is reading the Word of God. And you know what? You have a perfect place to execute that, and that's here at the church. You read something in the Bible, you learn about something, you learn something from the Holy Spirit, bring that to church and say, hey, look what I learned in the Word of God today. That's how you keep the fire going. I'm all for listening to preaching online. I'm all for saturating yourself with biblical preaching, but not as a substitute for your own personal Bible reading. Number two, how to stay on fire for God. Got to stay in the fight. What do I mean by that? Got to hate what God hates. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, if you would. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and then we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 10. Talk about how to stay on fire for God, how to keep the fire going as a church. I'm going to tell you how. We got to make sure we don't become a limp-wristed, sissy church that just wants no conflict whatsoever. The Christian life is a fight. You constantly have to fight. You're constantly having to fight to keep your own walk with God. You're fighting against the world, the flesh, and the devil. You're fighting false doctrine. You're fighting to keep your marriage on board. You're fighting to raise your children right. You're fighting to keep, you know, the God's hand of blessing on you. You're fighting the devil. You're constantly fighting. The day you decide to stop the fight, that's when the flame goes out. Stay in the fight. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. And verse 11 says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Look what it says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want you to notice that when he says fight the good fight of faith, it's in conjunction with verse 11 regarding the things you're supposed to follow after. Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. What does that mean? You have to fight to stay right with God. One of the best ways to stay on fire for the Lord, to stay on fire as a church, is you keep the main thing the main thing. You keep seeking after the kingdom of God and his righteousness so that these things shall be added unto you. You're making sure that you're making God a priority in your life. And let me say this, that requires a fight. Anybody who's put any considerable amount of effort to stay right with God knows it's hard to do. It's hard to stay right with God sometimes. It's hard to have these spiritual disciplines. It's hard to seek after the kingdom of God. It's a fight. And you know what? God expects for you to fight. Stay in the fight as a Christian. Stay in the fight repenting of those sins. Stay in the fight to stay right with God. Stay in the fight to keep reading your Bible, staying in church. Keep that fight going. But not only that, you know, there's a lot of things out there that this world is constantly pushing that we got to fight against. The culture is always pushing a bunch of crap and nonsense, trying to get Christians to become diluted in their faith. A lot of distractions out there that are seeking to what? To douse your flame. And you know, we have to fight to stay right, but we also have to fight to keep that garbage out of here. You know, one of the best ways to douse the flame is get into politics. Right? You're getting into politics, you're going to douse your flame. Stay in the Word of God. Amen. Stay winning souls to Christ. Amen. Stay fighting off the world, the flesh, and the devil. You know, it's important for us to know what's going on, but here's the thing, folks, is that don't allow yourself to become veered off the path of righteousness fighting someone else's battle. Amen. A superficial battle that will yield no results. This is the battle that you're supposed to be in right here. Okay? Look at 2 Kings chapter 10. 2 Kings chapter 10, if you would. Now, we got a huge fight on our hands, though. Let me say this, in November. Because if Kamala becomes president, man, we're screwed. This nation is cooked. Not just because she's a Democrat, but just because she's a woman. She's a woman Democrat. And if she becomes president, let me just say this. The fate of the United States of America as being judged by God is 100% sealed. Okay? Now, there's a good thing that could come out of her becoming president for me. Say, why? I got a bunch of content to preach from. I legitimately will preach. If she gets voted in, which there's a part of me that kind of hopes for it just so I can preach this sermon. But I'm going to preach a sermon called Kamala, the Whore of Babylon. Be a great sermon. Oh, why are you so contentious? Because the Bible tells me that I need to be contentious against the evil things of this world. I got to make sure I fight against the culture. I got to make sure I fight against the wicked ideologies of this world. I got to make sure that I fight the trends of this world that are seeking to cause Christians to deviate from the paths. I have to make sure that I'm fighting against false doctrine and false prophets. Got to keep it alive, amen? Amen. Hey, we got to make sure that we fight against the enemies of God. Amen. You know, my sermons, obviously, I got to preach edifying sermons and sermons that will exhort you to continue in the faith. But sometimes you got to hear sermons about Jews. Right? You know, you say, well, man, too much is too much, though. Well, hold on a second. We have a whole slew of fundamental Baptists out there that worship Jews. You know what that tells me? It tells me that somewhere along the line, a couple, maybe 20, 30 years ago, someone stopped fighting that, and now it just became the normal thing to do is to worship Jews and Israel and bless them and dispensationalism and all that other nonsense. Sometimes we got to preach on that. We got to preach on end times Bible prophecy. We got to preach against fags. You're like, oh man, I don't know if you should use that word though. That's because you got out of the fight. So that word is like weird to you now. But you know, we got to fight against the trannies, the fags, the pedophiles. We got to make sure we continue to expose these things. Well, I'm just hoping that we just take it easy, put it on neutral, cruise control, then your flame has gone out. Look what it says in 2 Kings 10:15. And when he was departed thence, he, referring to Jehu, on Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, coming to meet him. And he saluted him and said to him, is thine heart right as my heart is with thy heart? And Jehonadab answered, it is. If it be, give me thine hand. And he gave him his hand, and he took him up to him into the chariot. And he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Lord. So they made him ride in his chariot. So Jehu comes, and if you know the context of the story, Jehu is anointed king of the northern kingdom and basically is commissioned and is ordained to just go kill a bunch of people, a bunch of God's enemies. Just kind of wipe them all out, the false prophets of Baal, all these people. And so he stumbles upon Jehonadab, and he's like, hey, are you right with God the way I'm right with God? And he's like, I am. And he's like, all right, come on, I'm going to show you zeal. No, Pastor, you're misconstruing that. They went to go have a Bible study. They went to go, you know, have a prayer meeting. Look at verse 17. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria till he had destroyed him according to the saying of the Lord, which he spake to Elijah. That's not a Bible study. He's basically telling, hey, you want to go do these hits with me real quick? I got to go destroy the enemies of the Lord. You down or what? Which car are we taking? You know, it's just like, he's saying, look, I'm going to go do a work for God. I'm going to show you what zeal is. And obviously, this is not a New Testament thing where we're out there whacking people or whatever. But you know, in a spiritual sense, that's what we're doing. Because we're destroying the false prophets of this world by exposing them, by preaching against them, by fighting against the principalities, powers, and the rulers of the darkness of this world, the spiritual wickedness in high places. That is the same thing that we're doing. And you know what? A lot of churches out there will look at us and say, oh, no, you guys just want to be controversial. It's called zeal. You might want to get some of it. You know, instead of capitulating to all the false prophets of this world and saying that Stacy Shiflett is saved, he's just a little mixed up, why don't you fight against him for preaching a false gospel? I'll tell you why, because you have no zeal. You've lost your zeal. The Bible tells us we're supposed to fight against these people who have forsaken the laws of God. And yeah, but you shouldn't call people out. Folks, the whole Bible just names everyone. Everyone gets called out. There's only a few times where someone doesn't get called out, and it's like when the man of God is doing something great, he's just like not named. God just chooses not to name it. But when there's like a wicked person, they're always named. The Apostle Paul is always calling people out. All they were which are in Asia have forsaken me. Demons have forsaken me, having loved this present world. Alexander the coppersmith, may the Lord render him according to his works, for he did me much evil. Whoa, Paul. You know, you should have called him. Paul, you should have called him. This ain't it, Paul. Paul, this ain't it. You should have called him, talked behind closed doors. No, Alexander needed to be called out. You know, the point that I'm making here is that according to the Bible, one of the things that will keep us on fire for God, keep our zeal going, is making sure you stay in the fight. Right. You better hate false doctrine and false prophets as much as God does. Amen. You better hate that which the Lord hates if you want to keep the flame going. Amen. And you know what? Here's a hate check for you. How's your hate life? Not your love life. How's your hate life? Are you sympathizing with the wicked of this world? Are you sympathizing with the false prophets of this world? Then you're part of the problem. You've lost your zeal. You know, we want to make sure that we don't have dissimulated love. We want to abhor that which is evil and cleave to that which is good. And make no mistake about it. Here's the thing, folks, is that we're obviously supposed to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, and do good to them to despitefully use us, things of that nature. Obviously, we have personal enemies, and God wants us to be good unto them, to heap coals of fire on their head. But make no mistake about it. There are people in this world that, according to the Bible, hate the Lord. Don't live in a fantasy world. The real world says that there's people out there that hate the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, one of the godliest men in the Bible by the name of King David, a man after God's own heart, the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, "Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee, and not I grieve with them that rise up against thee. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies." And you know what? The next verse doesn't say, "And I was wrong about this because the Lord interfered and told me by the Holy Ghost that I was not thinking straight." God's like, beautifully written. Let's put that in the Bible. It's in the Bible. He put it in the Bible. "Well, I just think that, you know, Gandhi was right." You're in the wrong religion. "I just think that, you know, God is just a God of love." No, he is love, but he's not just a God of love. You see, I like all of God. I like everything about him. I like his love, his mercy, his judgment, his righteousness, his wrath. I love it all. And you know what? God blesses those who recognize that they're just not like, "Well, I like half of what God is. I like the New Testament God more than the Old Testament God. I love it all." And you know, if you want to stay in this thing for the long haul, you want to keep the flame going, you better check your heart. Too many pastors are checking their heart to see where their love is. Most of them need to check where their hate is. Because you know what? I don't want to be caught dead loving the things that God hates. "Shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore wrath is upon thee from before the Lord." I don't want God's wrath in my life. I want to make sure that when God looks down on me, he recognizes that I love what he loves, esteem what he esteems, exalt what he exalts, and you know what? Hate what he hates as well. You know, you look at the book of Revelation, he's doing it. He's telling churches that. "That thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." He's like commending them for calling out false prophets, false apostles, calling them liars. He says, "Thou canst not bear them which are evil." He's literally like commending them for that. You want to keep the fire going? I'll tell you how to do it. You got to keep hating what God hates. You know what? There is an obvious danger that the older you get, the more soft you become. I hope to God that never happens to me. It's true. And you know what? I hope to God that never happens to our church. But in order for that to take place in my personal life, I got to make sure that I'm reading the Bible, and I got to make sure that I'm still continuing to hate false prophets like Stacy Shiflett. Like Stacy Shiflett. Damning people to hell with this false gospel and his stupid book, Lamb Among Wolves, that he's trying to make merchandise off of people. He's a fundamental Baptist, though. You shouldn't call him out. He's a phony. He's parading as a fundamental Baptist. That's what false prophets do. Amen. What's the point that I'm making? The point that I'm making here is that, you know, we need to make sure that we keep the flame going. One of the ways to do it is to make sure that you hate the things that God hates and the people that God hates as well. You know what? I'm going to preach against fags till the day that I die. You know, trannies and fags, they all get it. "Oh, I don't like the word transvestite." That's a good term to use. There's no trans. We don't call it transgender here. No one can change into another gender. You know, all people do is cross-dress is what they do. And we need to make sure we keep that on the forefront of our minds and not capitulate and just fold to the world just because the world's constantly pressuring people and constantly pushing that stuff down people's throats. We need to make sure that we keep our minds and our hearts in the right place in regards to those things and fight against them. That's how you keep the fire going. You say, well, I've gotten lax in that area. This is what you do. You pray, Lord, forgive me for having such a wimpy heart and for just kind of sympathizing with wicked people. God, help me to hate the things that you hate and keep that zeal going. Help me to be like Jehu, the son of Nimshi, who just had that zeal for you to execute the commandments of the Lord and expressed his zeal by doing so. I want to remain that way. Go to Lamentations chapter 1. Lamentations chapter 1. Let me give you a few more points here. How to keep the fire going. Let me say this. Keep a tender heart towards the lost. I mentioned that already in the beginning, but you know one of the best ways to keep the fire going? Keep soul winning. We're First Works Baptist Church. We place an emphasis on preaching the gospel, soul winning, training others how to do so. And one of the best ways to stay on fire, according to the Bible, is you keep winning souls to Christ. And you know what? I've been doing it for 17 years. I never want to get over the excitement of getting a person saved. It's always exciting. That God would use someone like me, God would use someone like you to lead someone to Christ and change their eternal destiny. That's amazing. You feel apathetic, do some soul winning, and you know what will happen? It'll get you on fire for God. You say, well, you know, I just kind of lost it, though. You know, I just don't really feel the same way. Well, look at Lamentations 1, verse 12. I love this statement here. Look what it says. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold, and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the days of his fierce anger. I like what Jeremiah said. Is it nothing to you? You know one of the best ways to get back on fire when it comes to soul winning? Look in the mirror and say, is it nothing to you that people are going to hell? Is it nothing to you that there's not enough preachers of the gospel out there? One of the best ways to get yourself back on track is ask yourself that question. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? I want it to mean something to me. And you know what? When my heart grows cold, and it does from time to time, I have to basically ask myself that question. Is it nothing to you, Bruce? There's people out there just going to hell. There's people who have died today without the gospel. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Is it nothing to you? And you know what that does? That gets me back on fire. It helps me to realize this is my destiny. This is what I'm here for. Is to get people saved. Oh, you're just being dramatic. No, I'm just being on fire. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not some reformed Calvinist just sitting on his rear end, not even caring about the souls that are going to hell out there. I want to make sure I stay on fire by recognizing my responsibility. Woe unto me! Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Keep a tender heart towards the lost. And I'm not saying that you have to be on soul watch 24/7. But you know what? Think upon the souls. I pray virtually every week of my life, Lord, please help me to get someone saved this week. Just one. Help me to get someone saved. Because I don't want to lose sight of that. It's easy to be a Christian for so long that you kind of start like fading out into that and no longer caring about the loss. We want to make sure we keep the main thing, and keep that fire going by getting people saved. Amen. The Bible says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Here's another thing to keep the fire going. We're almost done. Come to church ready. Come to church ready. What do I mean by that? You know what? Come to church expecting to get something from God. Don't make church just this motion, the motion that you go through. We just do this every Sunday. Come expecting something from God. Come recognizing, I'm going to hear from the Lord today through the preaching of God's word. It's something that I need to do something that I need to change, something that needs to be added, something that needs to be subtracted. The Bible tells us in James 1:19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Go to 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm breezing through some of these. I'm trying to shorten it up here. Here's the next thing you could do to make sure you're on fire for God. I hope you understand this. Go through phases of bulking and cutting. Go through phases of bulking and cutting. Now, obviously, that's a statement that's often used to describe people who are losing weight and then trying to gain muscle, right? You go through seasons of just gaining weight so you can move more weight and get stronger. But then sometimes you get a little too fat and then you got to like cut a little bit, you know? I'm currently in the cutting phase right now, and this is why I'm miserable and mad and screaming and yelling. But the bulk is coming. The winter arc is coming soon. But how do we apply this spiritually? You know, there's times, there's seasons where you have to add to your life, and there's other seasons where you have to subtract from your life as well. And you have to have both to stay on fire for God. What do you mean by that? Look at 2 Peter 1:4. It says, "Whereby are given unto us great, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity." What is Peter saying? Add to your faith bulk. Sometimes you got to go through season where you say, you know what, I need to fix this part of my life, and I need to add soul winning to my life. I need to add some extra chapters in my daily Bible reading. I need to add some more time to my prayer life. I need to add another service to my life. Amen. You know, I've been coming Sunday morning, and I come Thursday, but you know it's time to come Sunday night. Or I'm coming Sunday morning, Sunday night, it's time to start coming Thursday. Why? Bulk! Get that volume in, amen? Bulk spiritually, add more content, add more preaching, add to your faith more. You're like, well, I'm in maintenance mode right now. Here's the thing is that, you know, maintenance mode does exist in the real world when it comes to weight, but not when it comes to spiritual things. Can't just do maintenance mode. God wants us to continuously add to our faith. You know, he wants us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so sometimes we need to go through phases of that where it's like, you know what? It's time to stop messing around, and I'm going to start reading through the Bible twice this year. Amen. You know, this year, I've been doing it once a year, and you know what? God bless you if you've done that, and praise God. But you know what? Let me give you a little bit of a challenge. Read through it twice. Bulk. Add an extra meal in. Amen. You know, guys which I have no idea what this is like. You know, there's guys who just struggle to gain weight. And so they have to eat a crazy amount to gain weight. And then they just don't. I don't know what that's like, by the way. Like, I'm like, dude, if I ate everything that I saw, I'd just be like 600 pounds or something like that. You know? But some people are like, and you know, some of you know what I'm talking about too, okay? You don't know if it's hard to gain weight or not. But you know, some other people are just like, it's hard to gain weight, you know? Well, and you know what they tell them? You got to add a bunch of meals. You got to add a bunch of meals to gain that weight. Well, you know what? The same goes for the spiritual things. You know, if you want to increase in your spiritual life, you want to become more valuable in the things of God, you want more opportunities, guess what? You got to bulk. Add some more Bible, add some more prayer, add another service, add some more soul winning. And you know, the volume may seem a lot, but after 6 months or so, it just becomes the new normal. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, if you would. Hebrews chapter 12. Talk about staying on fire for God. You say, how does that keep you on fire for God? Well, it basically prevents you from going on cruise control. People on cruise control, on maintenance mode, they're going to lose their fire because it's not hard to maintain. When you bulk spiritually, it requires effort. Like, you have to be aware, like, okay, tomorrow I'm reading an extra chapter. Tomorrow or this week, I'm going to go to the Thursday night service. Hey, I'm going to try to finish up the Isaiah series with the church and with Pastor. I'm going to listen to these. I'm going to, you know, you're adding to your faith because you're recognizing this is important. But not only that, cutting is important too, okay? And, you know, people will tell you when they bulk, especially if they do like a dirty bulk, basically like I'll gain weight by any means necessary. You know, McDonald's, Taco Bell, pizza, just all that delicious food. tubs of ice cream. You know, does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking. Can I get a witness? Thank you. You know, you're just like dirty bulk. You're just stuffing yourself. Well, then, you know, you take the bulk too far. And then you're like, I didn't, you know, this is, I'm just fat now. You know? And typically you realize that you've taken the bulk too far because the clothes that you, you know, it's just, you don't fit them anymore, you know? So what do you got to do? You got to cut, okay? Now, spiritually speaking, how can we apply this? Well, when you cut spiritually, it's time to get rid of some bad habits. Some areas that you need to shed off, right? You need to get rid of, you know, Lord, search my heart. Oh, the play thing is going down. It was built on the sand. You know, sometimes you got to say, Lord, search my heart. What is it? What's an area that I need to just get rid of in my life? Look what it says in verse 1 of Hebrews 12. Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. The Bible tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. The point that I'm making here is that we should always go through these seasons. You should not be in maintenance mode right now. What are you doing? You bulking or you're cutting? Are you adding to your life or are you working to get rid of some things in your life? Maybe you need to get rid of some friends. Maybe there's a girlfriend you got to get rid of because she's not a Christian. She's not saved. And if she is, she's not in church. Maybe it's a cousin you're hanging around too much and they're causing you to become cold towards the things of God. Maybe you need to cut that out of your life. Amen. Maybe you're listening to too many podcasts. Maybe you need to dwindle it down to the Baptist bias. Amen. A shout out to the Baptist bias here because I'm going to be on there in the next couple weeks. Amen. Or re-listen to the Rod of Iron episodes from years past. Maybe you just need to cut out some social media. Right? Some things just need to be cut to improve the quality of your spiritual life. And you know what? Cutting is not fun. Because we're consumers. We just like to just eat and eat and eat. And obviously, we're not preaching on that right now because we're going to eat again. Amen. The point that I'm making here is that you should not be on maintenance mode. Improve your life. Hey, better yourself. I'm here to challenge you to say, make yourself better. Improve yourself. You have not attained. You have not arrived. You have not apprehended. You're not the best Christian in our church. Sorry, be better. Well, I don't want to hear that. I know you don't. So add to your faith. Cut. Make yourself better, amen? And you know what? You may be a great Christian, but you could be better, though. We all can, right? Bulk and cut spiritually. And lastly, let me say this before we dismiss. And this may seem simple, it may seem practical, but you know what? This is important. Have a song in your heart. Amen. Talk about staying on fire for God. Have a song in your heart. Forget Taylor Swift. Yeah. That weird chick. Stop listening to that garbage. Amen. Amen. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. You know, whatever famous person you like to listen to, cut that out. Have a spiritual song in your heart. The Bible says to speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts unto the Lord. When you're in church, sing out. Just as loud as you would with your stupid Taylor Swift. Yeah. Sing out unto the Lord. When you're in church, sing it. And I know not everyone here knows how to sing well. But that's okay. You can still belt it out. Amen. Sing Blessed Assurance when we're here. Put a smile on your face when you do so. Right. You're like, oh, man, it's just Pat and Brother Ron just like holds out that note a little too long. I know. That's why he's out of breath when he's about to pray. Hey, he's not doing it for dramatic appeal. He's like, Lord. It's because he's putting in work. He's expanding that diaphragm. And you know what? I'm there with him. I'm just like, man, I'm glad I'm not praying because I probably just say in Jesus' name, amen. But you know what? Hold out that note. This is my story. This is my song. Oh, that's embarrassing. Praising my Savior all the day long. Do it. I mean, you do it with your worldly songs. You do it with your country music. You do it with whatever. Do it with the things of God. Have a song in your heart. You say, well, you're just trying to add that point in there. No, it's an important point, because you know what keeps you on fire for God is having a song in your heart, because it reinforces doctrine. It keeps you excited about the things of God. And you know what? I'm excited that our church is going to put out a hymn book. You know, we got men in the church who are former rappers who, you know, are writing hymns now. You know, they're writing hymns and we're singing the hymns. We need a new song, amen? You say, why is that important? Because fundamental Baptists are getting all liberal with their CCM garbage. All they want to focus on is that queer skinny jean music that they got going on there. You know what we need? We need the old-fashioned hymns again. And you need to get excited about It Is Well With My Soul. Tearing up when you hear those songs, amen? Tearing up about I'd Rather Have Jesus. Tearing up about Come Thou Fount. Singing it out with your heart. You know, you sing all the other songs. Like, hey, why don't you sing the things of God the same way? Amen. Psalms and hymns stir the heart, my friend. You know, when I sing And Can It Be, it stirs my heart up. You say, why? Because it reminds me when I first got saved. It makes the voice tremble. Puts that frog in your throat. And it reminds you like, man, I'm so grateful that I'm saved. And can it be? That's how you stay on fire for God. Sing those songs, not just in church, sing it in your car. Look all weird on the freeway. Who cares? The point that I make, you say, well, I think you're just exaggerating. No, you're just confusing it. I'm zealous for the things of God. Hey, why don't you come and see my zeal for the Lord? Hop into the chariot and see my zeal for the Lord. We want to remain zealous as a church, not a lukewarm Laodicean church. We want to make sure we keep this fire going to the second coming of Christ. And these are the things that we can do to maintain that fire. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the fire that you placed under us, Lord. And our hearts do burn within us when you talk to us by the way, when you open to us the scriptures. Lord, may we maintain that fire as the fire that was lit in the tabernacle, that it was to burn perpetually. Lord, may our flame burn perpetually for you, that we may be a burning and shining light to the day that we die. And I pray, Lord, that we would honor and glorify you in all that we do. Bless the fellowship to follow. Thank you for 7 wonderful years. Give us many more to come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.